chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Taking the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The help of the Lord today, I would like to preach to you a little while about resisting spiritual wickedness in high places. Resisting spiritual wickedness in high places. Why don't we pray? Let's ask the touch of the Lord upon our minds today, upon the Word of God. We pray for your touch, Lord, today. Lord, touch us with your Spirit. Touch us with the Holy Ghost today, God, and we'll give you praise and glory and honor. And everybody say, in Jesus' name. You can be seated. Looking through, I don't know what's happening with my thing here. I just want to leave that one up. Let's see if it stays up. Is it staying up? Nope. JJ, can you just put the picture up and leave the picture up? Okay. I guess not. Something's going on. Well, technology is wonderful when it works, and when it misbehaves, it's not so good. I wrote these words in November 2016, and as I was looking through some of my older messages, it said Al-Qaeda is threatening, and this is November of 2016, Al-Qaeda is threatening attacks tomorrow in New York, Virginia, and Texas. 100 anti-terrorist teams are working to thwart that threat, and while 100 teams are awesome, it is only God that can reveal the wicked intentions that are hard to be found. Okay, since this is just going to... get my eyes on that flashing back and forth, I'm just going to leave it alone. Is that... it's still flashing back and forth? You know what? I was going to shut it off, but we'll leave it alone. The praying church is the best first line of defense that God would reveal these things and let them falter and fail. I don't know if you remember, but New York had just experienced a bombing on the streets in September, 17th of September 2016, and on the 19th of September they had shootouts with terrorists in Linden, New Jersey. And, of course, Al-Qaeda was threatening more. And how true those words were. It takes the church praying to reveal things that are hidden. And I'm sure there were things that were thwarted. I've heard many times that the things that are thwarted never make the public press because they don't want to reveal what has taken place. And those words are true because not only were our prayers heard, but other prayers were heard. I'm not saying we're the only ones that were praying, but the only attack on record for that month, on record, was 28th of November 2016, where students at Ohio State were attacked by a vehicle and the terrorist was shot dead by police. In Proverbs 14 and 34, it says, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Now, unfortunately, since November of 2016, it seems like spiritual wickedness is becoming more and more exposed and more rampant in high places. And since then, we have seen unprecedented wickedness from the United States of America coming to light. The latest case, I don't know if you follow the news, but there's a billionaire alleged, and I use the word alleged because everybody's innocent until proven guilty, looks bad on the guy, but there's an alleged pedophile billionaire with ties and many pictures of high-profile politicians and businessmen and high-profile lawyers at his island, nicknamed by the locals Pedophile Island. Many things are trying to come out. I don't know how well they will be revealed. But it just look over the last year, we have seen a surge in transgender story times for children at public libraries. I would urge you, if you come into that situation, leave. Just be quiet. Just get up and just leave if you are aware of that. The last case making the news just a day or so ago involved a convicted sex offender getting access to children through these story time, transgender story time stuff. So there's a lot of crazy stuff going on in the world. Some say Jesus never addressed these issues, but let me read from Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 through 6. Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 through 6. "And he answered and said unto them, Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning male and female? And I said, For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Wherefore they are no more two, but one flesh. What God therefore hath joined asunder, let not man put asunder." What Jesus did not say is, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his husband." He did not say, "For this cause shall a woman leave her father and woman and cleave to her wife." He said God created them at first male and female, and that the man should leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife. What people do in their private life is their prerogative, but when they try to force their things upon us, it becomes our business. And unfortunately, this is the way things are going. They are trying to force us to completely accept. There are places, I think, in California, they're trying to make the Bible illegal because of the hate speech in the Bible against homosexuality. I don't think they'll get very far with that, but they are trying. And people are continually now, instead of coming against the Bible for hate speech, they're just rewriting the Bibles. Instead of God being a father, God is a mother. And God is this, and God is that. They would take the Bible and print their own Bibles and change the Word of God. But that's just not going to change God's mind. He said not one jot nor one tittle is going to be passed from the law until all be fulfilled. Nothing is going to pass from the Word of God. I read one article that just made me slap myself on the head and say, "You've got to be kidding me." There was a transgendered man, and I don't know if you know what that means. It means the guy had turned himself into a girl, saying that men are just going to have to get over it, and they're going to have to learn to date us. And I am not in the dating field. I haven't been for many years, but let me tell you something. If I was in the dating field, ain't gonna happen. Ain't gonna happen. This old boy still likes girls. Not fake girls, real girls. So this world is trying to take us, and it's trying to twist us, and it's trying to mess with our minds. I've mentioned before, they're coming out with pantyhose for men called mantyhose, and they're coming out with makeup for men, and they're coming out with dress suits for men. And I look at those pictures, and I'm like, dear God, how could any of these people even wear any of that stuff? Because God made us male and female. He didn't make us confused. This world will, and we have to watch our kids, because this world will try to confuse our children. And this is what it's all about right now. When you see these things like the transgender story time for kids, they're trying, believe it or not, they're trying, the devil is trying to get our children. The devil is trying to mess with our children. Our world is turning topsy-turvy, where good is called evil and evil is called good. And the prophet Isaiah had something to say about that in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, where he said, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." This has actually been going on for centuries. Periodically, it's been going on. If you look at the Nazis in World War II, they were calling the chosen people of God evil and trying to exterminate them from this world. And we find other things happening through the years of people calling evil good and good evil. And each time it was brought down, each time it came to nothing. But we're seeing some real terrible things happening in our world today. I was watching a news story about a Christian veterans group whose ads on YouTube were rejected for unacceptable wording, and they flashed the picture of the copy of what YouTube sent them on the screen, and it said the objectionable content, the word Christian. So the man changed the word on the ad to Muslim, and the ad is running no problems on YouTube. This is the kind of world that we are living in. It's not even that you can say God really anymore. You can't really say Jesus. You know, say Jesus, you get people all kinds of bent out of shape. And people are rejecting the ways of the Lord, but there is going to be people that are hungry for God. Don't even worry about that. So watch for coming events in awe and wonder, and don't neglect yourself. Don't neglect your salvation. Don't neglect your whole armor of God. I'm going to talk about two aspects of the whole armor of God. It tells us, have your loins girt about with truth. In these days, you have to do what the scripture said and keep your loins girt about with truth. Sometimes truth hurts. Sometimes truth is not convenient. Sometimes truth steps on your toes. Now, that's a Southern American saying. I remember preaching down in Oklahoma, and somebody would say, "You really stepped on my toes tonight." And what that means is you got down where they were and you preached to them, and the word of God convicted them of sin. We need to allow preaching that steps on our toes. You see, society winds are going to shift from time to time, but God's truth is eternal. The great thing about the word of God is it is stable. Society can do this and society can do that, and all through the winds of change of society, you're going to find that the word of God has not varied. The word of God has always stayed the same. Let's talk about some of the historical background of the loin girt about with truth. A soldier's belt, or cinculum militare in the days of the Romans, was not just an adornment, it was also an essential piece of military equipment. The belt was crafted of tough leather strips and small brass plates for extra protection. Wrapping about the loins, this leather belt clung closely to the soldier and shielded some of the most vulnerable parts of the body. When preparing for battle, a soldier would put his belt on first. That was the first piece of his armor that he would put on. The belt was designed to keep other pieces of the soldier's armor in place, including his sword. You couldn't carry the sword without the truth. Amen. The belt of truth. The loins girt about with the belt of truth. If you don't have truth, you cannot use the sword of the Spirit. Because the Bible says the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And I've said many times, the Bible says in John 4:24-25, God is a spirit, and they, or John 4:23-24, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And when Jesus said, you must worship him in spirit and in truth, he made possible four different ways for the people to worship God. It's just like, did God create evil? No, when God defined what good was, he made not good possible. Amen. God did not create evil. Evil came out of our own disobedience. Evil came out of our own hearts. He did not create evil in that sense. But he showed what was light. He showed what was darkness. And in that definition of spirit and truth, he has also shown you that people can worship in truth and have no spirit. They can be cold as a grave and still call it worshiping God. They can have the spirit, but they cannot have truth and still call that worshiping God. And they can have neither truth nor spirit and consider that worshiping God. But only one way is that God says that he will accept is that we worship him in spirit and in truth. Just like when Cain offered his sacrifice unto the Lord. There was one sacrifice that the Lord would take, but Cain decided, I'm going to offer my own type of sacrifice. And he brought down the wrath of God upon himself, or the rejection of God in his case. And he got angry with his brother, and he killed his brother because God was angry with him, because God had rejected him. It's very similar with things that are happening today. People become rejected by God because they refuse to offer the sacrifices that the Lord has deemed that they should offer. And they become angry with God. And they become angry with you because they feel that spirit and that presence of God around you. The soldier would also wear a tunic, which was a cloak worn over a short kilt or skirt. Prior to engaging in combat, the soldier would tuck his tunic under his belt, providing for maximum freedom for his legs. Some of the biblical parallels of this is the call is to have your loins girt about with truth. That is called being prepared. Being prepared. As a good soldier, and the Bible says that we are soldiers in God's army. There's an old song, maybe we'll sing it later. I'm a soldier in God's army. And I'm marching on to victory. I will not turn back. I will not turn around. I'm a soldier marching heaven bound. We are called to be soldiers of the Lord. We are to maintain a good conscience and be ready to give an answer to anyone that asks reason for our hope. That's what the Apostle Peter said. Stand ready and be ready to give an answer to anybody that asks for a reason for our hope. And some of the problem that we have today is that just like Acts 2:36 and 2:37. They were preaching. You know what they were preaching in Acts 2:36? They were preaching a one God message. This same Jesus has he made both Kurios and Mosaic. And that hit them. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter didn't tell them before they were ready. Sometimes we're ready just to go at it, and we make people angrier than they ought to be. But we also have to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost, because sometimes the Holy Ghost will tell you, go talk to this person. He will tell you to go witness it. At those times, you need to be sensitive up to the Holy Ghost, sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord, that God would know what he's doing. In an hour in which we live, it's so hard, because you don't know, how do we get a hold of people? How do we find people? How do we do this? How do we? The answer is that God is able to call out. The Bible says that no man comes to the Father except God calls him. And when we pray, we need to pray that the Lord would show us hungry souls, that the Lord would lead us to people that are hungry to God, that we can find those and do as the Bible says, pluck them up as out of a fire. Amen. We're soldiers, though. And as soldiers, we are also to be sober and spiritually vigilant. So we are aware of our adversary when he prowls around. What's 1 Peter 5 and 8 say? That our adversary, the devil, goes around seeking whom he may devour. That's why you have to be established in the truth of the Word of God. You have to be established in your understanding. You have to be established in your relationship with the Lord. Because the devil has all those people out there. But he doesn't have you. Who is he prowling for? He's prowling for those that know the Lord. And he will try to destroy you. He will try to mess with your mind. Amen. There are several biblical references to having your loins girt. Jesus said in Luke 12 and 35, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, implying that his servants are always to be ready and watching for him. Are you looking for the coming of the Lord in these events that we have going on in the world with Iran and with Russia and with China and with South Korea? And all the craziness of politics that we see going on today. Is your eyes upon the Lord, or have they begun to slumber and sleep? Well, he talked about in the parable of the 10 virgins, where 5 were wise and they kept their lamps trimmed and they kept their fire burning, but 5 of them were sleepy and they let their light go out. And when the call was made that the master is coming, they said, let me have some of what you got. And they said, no, you can't have mine. You got to get your own. And that's the way it is living for God. We have got to get our own fire for the Lord. We can't get it from somebody else. Now, having said that, you can be an encouragement to somebody in their getting of the fire of the Lord, but they have to receive that themselves. They have to be on fire with the Holy Ghost themselves. Don't let your light go out. But let your loins be girt about and your lamp burning for the Lord. Peter echoed those thoughts in 1 Peter 1:13, where he said, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You've got to gird up the loins of your mind. In one place, the Bible says that David was so discouraged that they came to Ziklag and they burned the city and they took the wives and the old men and they ran off with them. And the Bible says they talk about stoning David. And the Word of God tells us, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. You have got to be in the place where if you are discouraged, you do not become fodder for the devil. That you do not become fodder, you don't become lion's food, where the lion can come and eats you. The only way that you're going to get encouraged in the Lord, it's not through talking to a friend. That, yes, that can encourage you a little bit. But the true encouragement is going to come when you begin to encourage yourself in the Lord. When you begin to get a hold of God. When you begin to get a hold of that power of God for yourself. You cannot live on the lamp of somebody else. You've got to have some of your own fire inside of you. Hallelujah. Oh, sweet Holy Ghost. Paul related the belt girt upon the loins to truth. There are two aspects in this picture. First, to be girded with truth is to be firmly established in the truth of God's word. The Bible says in John 17:17 that the word is truth. That is foundational to all other pieces of spiritual armor. I was debating with somebody the other day, and the guy was a preacher. And he did not even believe that all the books of the Word of God were inspired. When are you going to preach something you don't even believe in? Dear God, help us. We have got to understand that the Word is truth and is foundational to all the other pieces of spiritual armor. In John 8:31-32, Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Unfortunately, there are people that get started with God, they don't complete the journey. Or they stop and they say, "Okay, God, you can come this far, Lord, but you can't come any further. God, you're stepping on my toes. Lord, you're getting in my territory. I don't really want to change like you want me to change." But we have got to let the Holy Ghost do with us as He wants to do with us. To bring the change. Christianity is a life of change and of growth. There are times when you're just going to maintain. There are times, though, when you need to grow in the Lord, when you need to become closer to God than you were before. You need to realize more truth in the Word of God and accept the truth. You say, "Well, my mommy doesn't believe that. My daddy doesn't believe that." Well, join the club. My mom and dad didn't believe it anyway. But it's what the Word of God said, and Jesus said, the Word is truth. He said, "Sanctify them through thy word." The Word is truth. Sweet Holy Ghost, sweet Spirit of the Lord, just as the soldier's belt provided freedom of movement, you are kept free from the enemy's lies by abiding in the truth of the Word of God. I will tell you, there are times when I have wondered that okay, Lord, is all this we're talking about? The Bible says to be baptized in Jesus' name. I see a whole bunch of people. They ain't got the Holy Ghost. They're calling what they're living for God. Yet they haven't been baptized. They've been baptized in Father, Son, Holy Ghost. They haven't been baptized in Jesus' name. What's going on, Lord? And I open the Word of God. And the Word of God still says, repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's still there. And my standard is the Word of God. We sanctify it through truth, and the Word is truth. Amen. Praise God. You have got to be girt about. Your loins have got to be girt about with truth. Amen. Second, to be girded with truth is to be truthful, genuine, and sincere before God and others. This involves not allowing deceit or unconfessed sin to separate you from fellowship with God. There may be times, we don't have to sin every day, but there may be times you do sin. What do you have to do? He said you have to acknowledge your sin. He said in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, he said, "Confess your sins." Don't sit there and say, "I didn't do anything wrong, God." If you've sinned, you know, and there are also sins of commission, and there are also sins of omission. What haven't you been doing for the Lord that the Lord talked to you to do? Those are sins of omission. What have you not been doing for the Lord that the Word of God commands you to do? Those are sins of omission. Those are sins where we have not done what the Lord has asked us to do. Not only do we have to confess our sins of commission, we have to confess our sins of omission to the Lord. And the Bible says when you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It also involves being a person of integrity. What is integrity? It's not a hypocrite. It's not coming and presenting yourself to be something that is not true. That is a hypocrite. A hypocrite, well, the Bible says a couple of things about a hypocrite. It says the hypocrite in heart doesn't cry when the Lord binds him. Doesn't respond to God. But a hypocrite, now there's a difference between a hypocrite and a child of God struggling with sin. The child of God struggling with sin is going to repent. They're going to talk to the Lord. They're going to ask God to help them to be overcomers. All that's going to happen. The hypocrite is the person that wants you to think they are something that they are not, and they have absolutely no intention of changing. That is a hypocrite. So if you're struggling with something, if you're bound up in something, don't think I'm telling you a hypocrite. You're not a hypocrite. You're just struggling with things. But a hypocrite is somebody that intentionally tries to deceive. And we cannot intentionally try to make ourselves something that we are not. It involves a person being a person of integrity. Let's talk about some of the practical applications. Satan always attacks truth with lies. In John 8 and 44, it tells us he is the father of lies. He especially focuses on attacking God's promises, causing doubt upon them like he did in the Garden of Eden. Don't you know what he told Eve in the Garden of Eden? Well, did God really say that? If you eat, you shall not surely die. You shall become as gods, having your eyes open, knowing the difference. But what did they do? They listened to the lies of the devil. Even the words of Jesus, he made them male and female are under attack. And this is why I spend my time with the young people trying to teach them about creation. Because if we cannot believe the first book if we cannot believe the first chapter in the Bible, the rest of the Bible is open to question. Very important that you believe the whole Bible, the whole Word of God. Because then nothing is open to question. You just accept the Lord, the words of God for what He said. Even those, as said, those words of Jesus where He made them male and female. Those are under very serious attack today. And if the enemy can get you to doubt God's integrity, if he can get you to doubt his goodness, if he can get you to doubt his word, they say it's a slippery slope. Well, you know what a slippery slope is? You ever been climbing down a hill or something and it's wet and it's muddy and you just start sliding all the way down, or it's a rocky hill and you go ahead and you're falling upon the rocks and all the gravel going down there? That's what they call a slippery slope. And you go further and further and further down from the hill than where you meant to be. One demonic lie leads to another, and then it leads to another until you're utterly discouraged and confused and defeated and indifferent to the things of God. And the things of God are of paramount importance to our eternity. Because as I preached, I think it was last week, this body is just a shell. There is a spirit inside of you that is going to live somewhere. And all of us at one point or another, as every man has been before us, is going to face the grave. We are going to die, unfortunately. It's going to happen to every one of us. But that spirit is going to live on. And what you do in this life, the walk that you have with God, is going to determine where your spirit is going to spend eternity. And eternity is a very, very long time. The best illustration that I have read about eternity is that if a bird, a little hummingbird, was to fly to the moon and peck out a little piece of the moon and come back to the earth and then fly back to the moon and peck out a little piece of the moon, when the moon is reduced to nothing, eternity will just have started. Think about that. How long is eternity? Eternity is a long time. There's nothing that God has asked of me that is too much for my eternity. When you fail to resist these types of attack on your mind, you may act upon the enemy's temptations because you're too weakened to resist him. The temptations will most likely involve leaving God's path to make a more acceptable societal approach to the Word of God, and becomes that the Word of God has lost its effect and meaning anyhow, and eventually you become so watered down that you walk away from the Lord. The devil starts little by little, and he never stops. He just never stops. He is always, you see, when we talked about this before, I told you that one third of the angels fell and were called fallen angels. So you have one third of the angels, and some of them are, you know, involved in the spiritual wickedness in high places and motivating people and opening doors for them and so on and so forth. But there's a whole lot more devils that are free to roam. And they are free to come in places like this today and to speak to your heart, speak to your mind. That preacher's preaching a bunch of bunk, or you're no good. You're never going to be able to live for God. You're never going to be able to do this. This is too much. This is too extreme. And when he can make you think that those words are not his, but they are coming from your own thoughts, he's got his battle half won. When you begin to get off track and you think it's because you're right, watch out. Watch out, because you have fallen into his trap. Thankfully, the Lord did not give in to Satan's temptations, and he gave us an example of what to do. You know the scripture where it talks about Jesus was on top of the mountain. The devil came to him, fasted 40 days. The devil came to him and he said, "All this you see can be yours if you will just bow to me." And Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. It is written." That's why you have to know the Word of God. You may not totally remember every chapter and every verse, but you have got to have the gist of it there. And you have got to accept the truth of the Word of God. So when the devil comes to fight you, he cannot destroy you because you have your loins girt about with truth. One of the enemy's common tactics is telling us lies to put or in telling us lies is to put lies in the first person. For example, the thoughts may come, "I don't need church. I'm just as anointed." You know, they had that same thing. They had the same problem with Moses. They said, "Moses, you take too much upon you. We're," in essence, they said, "we're just the same as you." Well, they may have been just the same as him, but they were not called in that same position. And because of that, the Bible tells us Korah and his crew, the ground opened up and swallowed them because they were not waiting on God. You know, the Bible says promotion comes of the Lord. He raises one up, he puts one down. God does whatever he wants to do. And it tells us to let patience have its perfect work, that you may be whole and wanting nothing. You may have a ministry, you may have a time, but the time may not be yet. And when that time is, God opens many doors. I can attest to that, that God will open many doors. But in the meantime, don't get out of the time of God. I don't know why I'm saying that. Maybe somebody's listening to me on the internet today. Don't get out of the time of God. Start speaking forth the promises of God's word. God is faithful in 1 Corinthians 10:13. God is faithful who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will in temptation also make a way of escape. If and when you stumble in unbelief, open your heart to the searchlight of God's word and allow the Holy Ghost to guide you back into all truth. Let the Holy, you know, the problem that we have with people today, and is the life, it becomes, the voices are so loud, the clutter is so loud in our mind that we cannot hear that very still small voice of God. It's not always easy to hear from God. Let me tell you something. God doesn't always talk either. The instructions God gives us sometimes are quite a while in between. I've experienced that. But you can know one thing. When the Lord speaks, it comes to pass. And if the Lord speaks and it doesn't come to pass, you have got to be a big enough person to fall on your knees before God and say, God, I made a mistake, Lord. I pray that you take me, Lord, and make me what I ought to be. Don't let guilt or the devil's accusations keep you away from God. Instead, repent and get back on track. Tighten your belt with unchanging truths of the Scripture. The Bible tells us that it is impossible for God to lie. And according to the book of Hebrews, He is the anchor of our soul, both sure and steadfast. Brother Rick, why don't you find my wife and tell her to come here now, come here very quickly, because I'm not going to go on very much longer. I have a whole nother... Wow, I got a whole bunch more about the helmet of salvation, but I've spent a little bit of time on the belt of having your loins girt about with the belt of truth. Truth is very, 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 very important. Without truth, you can't hang any of your other weapons. You can't be ready for the battle without truth. Think about it. What is the first thing that the devil attacks? He attacks truth. The first thing the devil does is try to, and I've seen this time and time again. We baptized a lady earlier this year, or was it the end of last year? I don't remember. Sometimes time passes very quickly for me. And she never came back. And in her emails to me, she says, something to the effect of, I just can't believe God did what he did for me. She had a great experience with God, but the devil attacked truth and took it from her. And the Bible talks about many types of ground. The Bible talks about six types of ground. Talks about the ground on the wayside where the word of God goes, and the ground is so hard that it cannot even, just like throwing seed on the asphalt out there, the seed cannot grow because it has nowhere to grow. Talks about the thorny ground where the thorns and the cares of this life will take and destroy your walk with God if you allow them to. Talks about the stony ground, where the stony ground has no depth. And it talks about the good ground. And in that, there are three types of ground. So if you add that to the three types we already talked about, there are six types of ground. Here's the thing. You can be good ground. You know what it takes to be good ground? You've got to pull out the weeds. You've got to dig out the rocks. As I've used this illustration before, I'll use it again. When my parents moved out of the Bronx when I was 13, they moved up to a place called Shrub Oak, Yorktown Heights, New York. And we used to go walk in the woods. There were woods there. They didn't have any woods in the Bronx. And in these woods, we found rows and rows and rows of stone walls. And I found out later on that it used to be all a farming community before they brought all the developments in, which means that it was beautiful at one point. Open fields. But the reason they were open fields is because somebody got in there and they dug out the rocks and they made stone walls out of those rocks, and they pulled out the weeds and they cut down the trees and they pulled the stumps up and they cleared the land and they cleared the soil where things can grow. This is what has to happen in our life. And in our life, let me tell you something. For those of you that have a garden, I know it's not very many of us that have a garden. I don't even have a garden anymore because the animals are too hungry where we are. I couldn't get anything out of my garden. And I finally said, forget this. I'm not growing a garden to feed the neighborhood. So I tore the garden down. I buy my stuff at the store. It's a whole lot cheaper anyway. But the rabbits would come and now I got a badger living in my backyard because of that. Down in the rocks, and saw them yesterday come up out of the wall there. We've had rabbits there, and they're all hungry. But I couldn't feed the neighborhood anymore. But in having a garden, one thing you notice, you'll get down there and you will pick out the weeds, you'll clear the soil, use the little rake and clear soil. It's so beautiful. Until about 2 days later, and the weeds come up again. That is just like our walk with the Lord. You have got to keep pulling the weeds. You have got to keep working on yourself. You cannot allow yourself to go away from truth. The Bible talks about in the last days people would close their ears to truth and be open to fables. We find that today. We find that a lot today, people open to fables. You can't do that. Be open to the Word of God. Be open to the 66 books of the Bible. Let the Lord take you and make you and mold you. Pull the rocks out. Pull the self-will out. You know, as a pastor, I'm very kind. Maybe I'm a pushover sometimes. I don't know. I was talking with a preacher the other day. And he said, if I did something like that, he was talking about something, somebody else did nothing. I wouldn't talk about nobody in this church. He said, if I did something like that, my pastor would call me a pissant, which is a southern term for a little pesky little ant, and set me down forever. I'm kinder than that. Sometimes people think I'm a pushover. I don't know. In that, I hope that you appreciate my kindness. But you got to work on yourself. If you got weeds growing, get back to pulling out the weeds. If you got some rocks, you know what rocks are symbolic of? They're symbolic of self-will. I'm going to do it my way. In the Italian, I'm half Italian. In Italian, you would say somebody is stunad. What does stunad mean? Thick-headed. Sometimes our heads can be like rock. And we need to not pull our heads off, but pull the rocks out of our spirit that we might allow God to talk to us, to make us what we ought to be. Sweet Holy Ghost, why don't you sing before I get myself in trouble? Let's all stand. Resist the spiritual darkness and the spiritual wickedness of the day in which we live in, Lord. What I ought to be. Oh, make me what I ought to be. And help me to be more like thee. Make me come up higher till I ought to be. Amen. Remember our Wednesday night Bible study. If you're available to pray, come Saturday mornings about 10. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.